The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
And welcome to our final episode of On the Rag for the year 2018.
What a year.
What a year.
What a year.
We were just talking off mic about how we're sort of struggling to find words for things and ideas and...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm extremely inarticulate, so let's see how this goes.
It lends itself well to a podcast. That is, of course, Michelle Acourt.
Hello.
And Leonie Hayden.
Kia ora.
Who's hoeing into a delicious-looking raw salad.
It's a bit salty.
You always say that? Is that... No, we won't say it.
Yeah, we won't.
We know. It's the salty place. I know what you're talking about.
I like it that it's a salad and I just hoovered what was purported to be a sandwich but turned out to be a burger. So it didn't have quite enough salt, so we should have shared.
That's a lovely surprise. You think it's a sandwich and you get a burger. Yeah. That almost never happens.
No.
Aren't all burgers sandwiches when you get down to it?
I guess so.
They are in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
And a
biscuit is not
a
what
scone.
You think.
A scone. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So this is your food podcast.
Welcome to Dietary Requirements.
Honestly, I don't know where I am now. We just did a super pod with all of the spin-off podcasts in one room, like a glorious podcast rat king. And the lines are blurred in a way. But this is your monthly feminist New Zealand podcast.
Yes.
We can confidently say that.
Yes, that is what it is.
That is what we're here for. Or it's what you're here for.
Hopefully. If you're not, just stay with us. Thank you so much to the Women's Bookshop, of course, who have supported us all year, our wonderful sponsors. If you're in Auckland, you can check them out on Ponsonby Road for your last-minute Christmas shopping.
Mm.
Hell of a time to go. Just go up, go to the desk, say, Carol?
Yes.
What do I get?
Help me. I've got this. I'm going to describe this person. Find me a book for them, and she will. And the nice thing about doing last-minute Christmas shopping is that everybody else is doing last-minute Christmas shopping, so you can all look at each other and go, you fucked up too, didn't you?
I love that. They're also online at www.thewomansbookshop.co.nz. We have a massive giveaway, actually. They've been very generous to us this Christmas. We've got a book hamper. Four books, one of them being Milkman by Anna Burns, the Man Booker Prize winner of the year, which Carol herself told me is absolutely amazing. The Bed Making Competition by Anna Jackson. Human Relations and Other Difficulties by Mary Kay Williams and Lenny's Book of Everything by Karen Foxley. So we're going to give away that prize pack on our Facebook page.
Do we have to give it away? That sounds really good.
We need some sort of reading.
There's four people in this room right now.
The post isn't reliable these days. Things can go missing really easily.
And it's awful when people miss out, so I don't know why we're doing it.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/ontheragpod, and we also have our private Oasis. Online, which is the closed Facebook group On The Rag 24/7, the numerals there with a slash. It's heaven.
It is my favourite place in the world right
it
now.
It is. It's gaining numbers.
Yes.
Over the past month.
Many of you.
Reasons of which we will go into very shortly, but it seems very clear that there's a lot of women in this country and also people who were visiting New Zealand this month who needed a place to go. And I felt very privilege that we could provide that place. And sometimes people just post pictures of animals.
That's right.
Yeah. That was very heartwarming. There was a thread where someone was just like, you know what, with everything that's going on, here's a picture of me dog.
Yeah.
then hundreds of comments of honestly the cutest photos of animals I have ever seen. Yeah. It could have been like a BuzzFeed listicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was really delightful, isn't it? That's what I'm loving about the page is that it's so supportive and people actually read what the post's about before they comment on it.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Which is a new thing in social media. I don't know if it'll catch on.
2019.
I'm finding it really pleasant.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But also in that thread, I should say, it wasn't just animals. It was also people's babies and their children and just things that they were doing that they were enjoying as well. I just love it, the way that our audience interprets whatever it is that's going on and can talk about it from their sort of personal experience and then put that out to the group, and which is why it's such an inclusive place, is because everyone feels like they're part of something. I know I do.
I know I'm still talking, but we haven't started anything yet. But one of the other things I quite like is that a few of the posts begin with, I don't know if I should post this here, or I've thought really hard about whether I should post this. And that's a real indication that people are thinking really hard about how things are going to be received, what they're putting into the space. Mm-hmm. And without exception, people have come back and said, no, that's a cool thing to put in here, and here's my honest, authentic response to that. So, so those two things are that people are taking care, but they're, and it's being responded to really warmly. And I've never seen that either.
It's incredible. And it is open to all. There is an entry mechanism, but you'll soon find that it is not particularly stringent.
It's not watertight.
At the moment, I've said, just say hello in the Michelle A. Court voice.
Hello.
Hello.
I mean, on that note of the things we're talking about, obviously this past month in New Zealand for women has been, I mean, particularly hard. I didn't think maybe a week, 2 weeks ago that I'd be able to even talk about the death of Grace Mullane without collapsing into tears. I'm still not sure I can promise that. I'm also PMSing, just so we're clear.
Yeah. It's going to be a rollercoaster, people.
But I thought, just based on what we were talking about and the way that the On the Rag pages sort of worked, I just wanted to ask you two, you know, how did you react to that week, to the news that Grace Mullane?
I think I disconnected before you did.
Okay.
I couldn't read the news stories. I didn't follow it that way. I kept in touch with the timeline through radio news, national radio. I read very little because I couldn't stand it. I couldn't bear it. And I didn't click on lots of stuff on social media. But then what I did, start to feel really comfortable about was actually when you guys, Leonie, Alex, and Mad, did your Here's Where to Channel Your Rage and Grief, and listed all of those organisations that do fantastic work with violence against women, and good things to read, and places to go for self defence, and all of, you know, it was, you did this incredible hamper, if I may say, of fantastic, positive, practical, nurturing, kind things to do, and there's been some really terrific writing around all of it. So, and that's what I could engage with. But I couldn't read the mainstream news stories. They upset me, made me angry. You know, I was getting so close to the comments section, I could smell them, and I couldn't do it.
Pooey.
What about you, Leonie? Ooh, what was that?
Like Michelle, I sort of already knew the second that I found out that this terrible tragedy had occurred that a lot was going to happen in the next week that I wasn't going to want to read or know about. And so actually that piece that we ended up compiling together was exactly how I wanted and needed to deal with that, because that is sort of where my brain goes to with the work that I do, that it's more important if something terrible happens to contribute something positive to the conversation, not just for other people who might be reading or listening or whatever you're making, but just for myself, it feels better. And it's nice to work somewhere where that's facilitated. So when we had our editorial meeting on that Monday, and a lot of stuff had already come out, and our senior editor, Toby, said, you know, we have to cover this, but how do the women that work here think that this should be covered? And I was so grateful for that moment. And it was just, it was like breathing to him. It didn't occur to him to run that meeting or address that issue in any other way. But it felt like everything in that moment when you're trying to sort of process this horrible thing that isn't just about Grace Mullane. It's about violence against women all over New Zealand. And so I got to just put my head down and channel my energy into, I worked on the section that talked about ways that men can help themselves learn about how to channel their rage somewhere else, some of the agencies that can help them. I put together some tips on how you can make women on dating sites feel safer. That was all based on my own experience of being on dating apps, and it was easy to write because actually these things come up every day. Mm-hmm. Like I don't go on very many Tinder dates, but I look at the app a lot, and there's so many things jump out at me as just being like too, there's too much pressure on women to, I don't want to chat. You can't tell the measure of a person just by chatting. We have to meet up. Like there's so many guys that basically have that in their bio, and it fucks me off.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to be able to sort of channel all of that stuff and then try and sort of push away some of the more sensationalist headlines that were sort of being chucked around and what it means for New Zealand tourism and just terrible things like that. I mean, that's not an angle anyone should care about.
That angle, I mean, that angle didn't necessarily surprise me, but I thought it was much too fast.
Yeah.
Like,
it was like 2 days after it happened.
The media coverage, and I mean, yeah, I think... Especially I wanted to give a shout out to the people in the On The Red community because they contributed a lot to that piece. And I also think that is sort of part of what we try and do is, you know, like harness the circle, whether it's the online circle, the physical circle of women coming together. And people just contributed the most incredible things that I hadn't even thought of. You know, like it's time to start championing girl guides and young tell young girls to go out there and keep doing things. And I was just... incredibly moved by that day in particular. I felt very lucky to work here. I mean, don't want to give a big shout out to the spin-off, but it is true. There was also another interesting thing that happened at that meeting. I think it was Toby again who was like, and you know, there's the not all men comments. And I remember, and now I know that this was not true, but I said, I haven't seen any. I said, I don't think this is the time. I don't think this is going to happen.
Oh,
surely
really?
We're past that.
Oh, you're lovely. What a nice person.
Give me 48 hours. And we saw that change dramatically.
Yeah. From some very surprising corners as well. Like influencers, Max Key, like all of these people that have actual
I wasn't surprised.
Sway.
And women.
Decentered women completely with just no understanding of what not all men does, you know? It's like, you just need to read, like, one good piece to understand that literally no one thinks it's all men. It's not hard to research enough to figure out that that's not what is going on.
No, obviously. Yeah. I mean, lots of women, I know this sounds crazy, but we share houses with them and push some of them out of our loins. Is that where you push them out of? I can't remember it sometime. I mean, that's ridiculous. And I thought that, again, sorry, it's a spin-off, but you published that fantastic story by, let me just scroll to find her name because I feel terrible when I say that piece by that lady.
Is it Sophie Bateman?
Sophie Bateman's The Astonishing Selfishness of Not All Men, which had some fantastic pull quotes in it that you could throw into a conversation at a Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
You know, when you're walking around the pool and somebody says, no running, and you're not running, are you very angry about that or do you just carry on with your day?
Yeah. She, and I think she had a very brave, I think it was the final line of that piece, which I thought was extraordinary, where she said, in that moment when you are feeling fear or you're realizing that there's a threat to you, all men do seem the same.
Right.
You
that's
know,
right.
If you're suddenly on edge, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and just that's something that men need to understand. If you're walking too close to a woman at night, she's probably scared of you.
You're one of them. Because you don't, because the bad guys don't actually wear handy badges and the good guys don't either. And, you know, that, I mean, that's the kind of, it's part of where the all men, hashtag all men, comes from, is that women are required to assume that all men are the bad guy.
Yeah.
Because if we go on a Tinder date with somebody who turns out to be bad, what were we thinking? Why did you assume he was good. You're supposed to assume all men are bad. And so then when we say all men are bad, they go,
what we're raised to believe when we're told not to wear short skirts or skimpy outfits or go out after dark. Mm-hmm. Or, and we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but that's literally why. Because we are raised with all men fucking imprinted on our foreheads by our parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get yelled at for believing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those two things cannot exist in tandem.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, we're all smart enough to understand that it's literally not all men. But like you say, when you've been raised to be naturally suspicious.
Of all men.
Because of the violence against women statistics and whatnot. Mm. Then, you know, it's not like the data doesn't, like, disproves it.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wanted to, I copied a bit out of Clementina Ford's writing, of course. because she wrote an article, I think a while back, about not all men. And she had a good little chunk of it, which I thought was like a really interesting thing to raise again at Christmas around the table.
Yeah.
You've just done the crackers. And someone says, not all men. Hey, nice guy. What do you actually do to be this famed hashtag not all man? Do you speak out against your friends and colleagues when they harass or abuse women? Do you challenge sexist comments in your peer groups? Do you raise your boys to do the same things? Do you call out your mates' misogynist views? Do you listen when women talk about our experience with gendered violence? And do you resist the urge to explain them back to us? Or do you tell us that we're wrong? If you do all those things, committedly and daily, congratulations, you're basically an okay human.
Yes.
Which I just thought was like, holy moly.
Everybody should have that on a little cheat card, a little just in their pocket for Christmas lunch.
Just slide it over.
Yeah.
Slide it over.
Yeah.
Is there anything? I wanted to talk about a conversation that I had a lot in my friend group over the past 2 weeks, which you wrote about beautifully, was how it pulls into focus all those little things that you do to keep yourself safe, which I think is a very hidden aspect of women's lives that doesn't really get talked about until something like this happens and everyone goes, oh yeah, we've been doing XYZ since we were born. My friend group, we set up a message group of about five of us. We've all shared our locations constantly. This is in the past week.
This
you know,
is great.
I instantly... it's great, but it's grim.
I know,
It's great, but it's grim.
I mean, I want to go, well done. It's a supremely practical and simple step to take. Fuck that you have to.
But this is the hidden side of, you know, this is the stuff that I don't think you see in the news, you know, the constant flow of news stories, the daily implications it has. So we set up a location sharing thing. I know one of my friends has deleted her Tinder. I've set up my phone with the ICE before a couple of contacts. Just all those little things. And you wrote about it. You wrote about what you do in taxis, taking photos of people's ID. And in the sort of darkest but realest sense, because you're leaving clues in case something happens
I know,
to you.
I nearly in that piece divided them into here's how I keep myself safe and here's how I help them find my body. And then I decided that that was too grim.
It's
what we do.
It's
I mean, taking the taxi driver's photograph of his ID does nothing to make me safe.
Yeah.
Sharing the ride with somebody at home does. Mm. But that's just me going, how will they know who was the last person to see me? And that is really grim. But and that's how our minds work. And I'm, you know, I'm pleased. And I bet that that kind of thing has assisted in investigations.
Speaking of taxis, you did a story earlier in the month about, and you asked women for their terrifying taxi stories.
That's right.
And you got over 100 replies.
A deluge of just awful things.
And this is just literally one tiny aspect of things women do, the same as all other humans that don't identify as women. That is a minefield. You know, and you think, oh, you know, a couple of people have probably had a few ropey experiences. Over 100 people just in our little network when you put out a
call.
In 24 hours. I put in two.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, and that was in response to, it was, I think it was just a troll. It was a troll petition, but I saw it as an opportunity to highlighter anyway.
I mean, that was another fantastic example of doing something practical when they're just being douchebags. Because it was about the women only driver service, right?
Yeah. And someone said it was sexist and started a change.org petition. Mm. They need to filter those petitions, by the way.
It's taking jobs away from men.
No, they are still allowed to work for Zoomie and Uber and discount taxis.
They can pick you up, douche.
They can do whatever they want with their car.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one thing that stuck with me. And it stuck with me because I've started doing it, is that you sit in the back seat behind the driver because that's the hardest place for them to reach.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly.
Isn't it
so grim? But then I'm like, you might as well.
Yeah. Even though that's not the most, because you will really want to be on the footpath side, the practical thing is to get in off the footpath and sit on the left-hand side of the car, but the safest thing is to sit behind the driver, right?
Yeah.
But it does mean that if you get out, you're getting out into traffic, not out into a pedestrian walkway. But the plus is that it's harder for him, isn't it, to see you. Where is it harder for him to see you in the rear vision mirror? Because that creeps the shit out of me.
If you're behind him, it's easier because it'll be angled at you as well.
I'm back on the footpath.
You could alternate constantly throughout the ride.
Yeah.
Keep him guessing. This is the dark humor you came for.
Shit.
Or just try and stand, like somehow just wedge your feet into the space behind
the
seat.
What if you lie down in the footwell? Because then, but would you put your head?
Oh my God.
Or no, I think crouch on the seat facing backwards.
I'm sorry.
I'm sweating.
Hysterical.
I'm sweating.
I need somebody bring me a cold compress.
What are we time for
another?
So we've been
on a journey. Through this month has been a journey. I wanted to just give a shout. There's a lovely man named Roger who, when we asked, I sort of wanted this podcast to be a sort of choose your own adventure for our listeners and say, what is it that you want us to talk about in the last pod of the year? And he just said, I'd love for you to help break down the month because I'm kind of confused. Mm. As a man, I think he was sort of talking about that there are murders that happen a lot in New Zealand, you know. There's a lot of male-on-male violence. There's, things happen constantly. And yet this is the one that sort of blew up and opened this massive trauma.
There's a bunch of reasons for that. And I think part of it was timing. I think we're in the first year of post-Me Too. And I think there's been a sort of critical mass thing. And can I also say that I think that September was a particularly difficult month because of Brett Kavanaugh, and so many women identified massively with Christine Blasey Ford and watched her go through that as though it was us going through that, and felt brutalized by the whole process. And then not very much later, somebody who was doing what so many of us have done or hope our daughters will do, it's the worst possible thing happened to her, and it began as a mystery filled with hope because she was missing, and captured our imaginations because of that combination of how brutalized we were from September and just this pivotal moment in time is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It did feel like a lot of things coming to a head, not in a way that anyone asked for or wanted or even saw coming.
Mm.
But it did feel like one of those sort of, this whole stupid year has led to this awful thing that, like you say, we became invested in before we knew it was going to end in tragedy. And so I also feel like New Zealanders felt responsible.
I feel like because she was a visitor and we're the host.
She was a visitor, exactly. Like we failed her as hosts to our country. And I mean, that I sort of read quite palpably from a lot of the reaction to her death is just people's guilt for that.
Prime Minister's message about that was clearly that message that, I'm sorry this happened to your daughter in this country. She should have been safe here. Which is also not true because so many local women are not safe here.
Exactly.
Mm. And this, I think, speaks to something that you can acknowledge about the coverage is that she was white, she was young, conventionally attractive, educated, and that has a certain privilege in the coverage. And there's been a lot of women here who have not received that kind of attention.
Yeah. But I'd like to think the coverage of this and the reaction along those lines to it from people who were like, you know, this is not an anomaly. Like, women die as a result of violence from men every year in this country. Let's shine a light on that as well, which is what one of the vigils also talked about as well. And I'd like to think that more people are now thinking more critically about that.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think that, you know, the light is shining on this now, and the next time it happens, oh, I'm sorry, I can't even say that. Yeah, but yes, I think there has been some consciousness raising through this.
For how long, though?
For how long? I did mention that on the super pod that we just did. I don't know if you recall, in 2017, the sort of on-the-rag talking point was hashtag Me Too, the rise of it. And we're talking about Louis C.K.
Mm.
And I said, he'll be back within the year.
And you
Duncan
were right.
said no, and I was right.
You were right.
Again, when? I feel completely like, oh, I love being right, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yes, I think I'm glad as well that there are, for all the Max Keys and the Not All Men's, I genuinely feel like there's been a lot of men who have been listening.
Yeah.
AKA shutting their mouths.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which has been incredibly useful for all of us. Okay. Is there anything else we'd like to say about that before we move on to Christmas?
No, I'm okay. Let's talk about the other cluster fuck for 2018, which is Christmas. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Just me.
God.
Sorry.
Ho, 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 Michelle.
I have been hosting Christmas for my family for on and off for pretty much 19 years now, and I announced last Christmas that I would no longer do that because I do not enjoy it. And so I booked a holiday for my mother, my husband, and me to go and spend time with my daughter and my grandchildren in Tauranga, and now my mother's so unwell that we can't do that. And so I am back to where I was a year ago.
Hosting again.
Well, apparently.
Can you rope someone in?
Apparently. So I have a few tips about Christmas, and one of them is just don't assume that the person who has always hosted Christmas wants to host Christmas, and that at some point in your life it's going to be your turn to be the one who, not the person, like I fantasize about turning up at someone's house with a trifle and going, Merry Christmas, and find out what they cooked.
Yeah.
And so one day it's, if you're one of those people who turns up with your dish, one day it's your turn to actually have to put the recycling out on Boxing Day and wipe the, you know, custard off the whatever it, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Where's the custard?
I don't know. I'm quite stopped talking. I'm over here now.
And this is something that came through on the reg pages. A lot of women want to know how they can avoid having to take everything on themselves. And also take on their racist/sexist/gross distant relatives.
Yes. Or worse, close relatives.
Close relatives. Oh, dangerous territory.
Yeah, I feel like we talk about this every year.
We do. It's an evergreen topic.
But do you know what? And I imagine you probably want to get to this, but I just want to mention it because it's my favourite Christmas tip that we've been given from the Facebook page. And I will deploy it this year from Sophie. And it's about defensive napping.
I love Sophie.
I love it.
So she said, this Christmas, when you're forced to interact with annoying or horrific opinions of family members, interact with people you have nothing in common with, and your gross, sleazy and or racist uncle, it can be a hard time of year. It was for me until I learned about defensive napping. You can take a defensive nap anywhere, anytime at Christmas. In fact, the more public the location, the better. Fits in perfectly with your schedule of overeating and general overconsumption of all your Christmas faves.
Yay, Sophie.
But I genuinely feel like that's a really practical tip. Like, just sort of feign, oh, I'm just so faint, I need to lie down. Just literally anytime anyone says anything annoying. Or you could sit out an entire conversation if you know where it's heading.
Yeah, or just start snoring in their face.
Just start snoring. But it's sort of like almost something like you can do mentally without even physically napping. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, drift to your happy place. Yes.
Totally. Just zone out. Think about us. Sing a song in your head.
I think we
look
should
at a
give
family
ourselves
member that you do like and think about the things that you like about, like, essentially nap with your eyes open.
We should give ourselves permission just one day a year to not have to be the warrior, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe because we're not necessarily going to fix anybody's misogyny or racism on Christmas Day. So maybe this is the day of the year when you can just let some shit slide.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean, you know, give tacit approval either. I mean, drop your head back and open your mouth and snore.
This is my fear. Because sometimes when I go, if I leave something unchallenged.
You don't sleep.
Is that. That night. I don't sleep forever.
Yeah.
Okay. What could have been?
I hear you.
But, yeah, I mean, is it okay to just let something slide on Christmas Day?
Well, we could go back to Clementine's really great piece of advice where you don't necessarily have to offer up a rebuttal. You can just ask them to repeat it.
That's it.
Again.
My
and
daughter
again.
Has bloody nailed this.
Really?
I watched her do this with somebody who said something patronizing to her, and she said, "Pardon?" And they said it, they looked confused. She went, "No, pardon me." And then she said, "Did you say that because I'm a woman?" And they just shriveled into a small ball and rolled away.
Oh my God. Yes.
It was amazing. My favorite is because you can do it on the, as you're walking out the room, you just, when somebody said something horrific, you just go, "So retro," and walk out of the room. Because they've got no comeback to that. It's not like you call them racist or sexist or anything. You're just so retro.
Michelle, I love. So that's going straight in my pocket.
That's my gift to you.
I love that.
So retro is perfect.
Because you can't change everyone's mind.
Yeah. But you can, with those two beautiful little words, let them know that it's super outdated.
Yeah. Anything else about Christmas?
Someone
requested they would like to know if there's any unproblematic Christmas films that exist.
Well, I did a quick look and I haven't watched it, but I'm vaguely interested in seeing a movie called Happy Christmas made in 2014. Have either of you seen it?
No.
So it's Anna Kendrick and Melanie Lynskey.
So the
synopsis is that a woman, Anna Kendrick, moves in with her brother and his novelist wife, Melanie Lynskey, and their children. And the gift they end up giving to Mel's character, not a spoiler, is that they give Melanie Lynskey's character time to write her novel. So apparently it's, you know, there are very few moments in the film where you go, "Oh, no, get fucked." But I did read through the cast list, and Anna Kendrick's best friend is played by Lena Dunham. So I'm just a trigger warning.
Content warning. But apart from that,
it looks pretty terrific. Yeah. I'm this is just going from the synopsis. Anyway, good.
I'm a fan of The Wizard of Oz. Is that troublesome?
Is it Christmassy?
No, but it's all. I remember, I think when I was a kid, it used to be on TV2 on Christmas Day.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I've always thrashed it. It's probably got some deep rooted, like.
Let's not look too hard for
it. Let's not look too hard for it.
Yeah.
It's A Wonderful Life problematic?
I have read something about it.
Oh, really?
I read something about it.
It's been a while since I saw it.
So
it's like, isn't it about the plight of the small business owner? And
so we do Casablanca once the kids have gone to bed. That's probably problematic, but I'm not sure I care. No, I don't think it is. And when the kids are up, I always insist on either Puss in Boots or Frozen.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
are they Frozen? Just
no, are you gonna ruin? No.
Here we go.
Oh, Frozen. The men talk more than the girls.
Yeah, the men talk more than the women.
Than the two princesses.
Yeah.
That's an amazing point.
Yeah,
another one. It's extraordinary.
Another one from Clementine Ford's "Boys Will Be Boys," where she does amazing data analysis on Disney films.
I mean, yeah,
even the woke ones. They're not there yet. But yeah, I don't know, it's hard on Christmas, isn't it? Just watch something that you like.
Yes.
Don't force Christmas into, you know,
Die Hard probably doesn't count as unproblematic, does it?
I can't even run that through my head.
No, even don't. This is a Christmas film. Silent Night, Deadly Night. Good family movie.
Oh, can I just say one more thing about Christmas? If you're not the host, don't ask the host what she, because it's always a she, would like you to bring, because that's emotional labour for her. I hate it when people go, "What would you like me to bring?" I go, "You're asking me what my menu is and where the holes are."
Yeah.
So I would rather that people said, "I would like to bring you my favourite spinach and cheese dip."
Yeah.
And I would go, "That's terrific."
Yeah.
Or, "No, I've already got 14 of those coming, so couldn't you think of something else?"
That's a great tip.
Don't give the emotional labour to the host. Here we go. That's enough whining from me.
I have one more thing on Christmas before we go. Because I've fallen into the trap, which I think we talked about last year in our Christmas special, which is gendered gifts. Buying for nieces and nephews. in past years when I've had more time and I haven't been a drain task, I've tried really hard, you know, books and things, kind of nondescript things made out of wood that don't, you know, could belong to anybody. This year I was like, Lush for the girls, robots for the boys. And that's my feminist confession. I don't know when you are pressed for time, money, stress, how you can deliver. And also, the girls want the pink Hatchimals. The boys want the robot beetle. So, you know, do you know what I mean? It's like, do you get them what they want? Do you
encourage them to want something else?
Encourage them to want something else.
Yeah, it is tough.
That's my confession for the month. I just did it. I was like, she likes a bath bomb. And who can blame her? I like a bath bomb.
No, he doesn't.
There's
like
There's nothing
a bath
inherently
bomb.
Bad about a bath bomb. But
I mean, if you like baths and bath bombs.
True. Oh, this is a separate pod. Leonie's going to do a monopod about baths one day.
No, remember, I've revitalised. The water has to be clean.
Right.
Also, I get my nephews, because I figure the one thing that we don't have much of together because they live in a different city from me is time. So I now don't buy them toys. I've just instated an annual tradition that I spend Boxing Day with them. I take them to the movies and we have like lunch or dinner.
Oh, this is
but I
great.
Make them like a little movie ticket with like their name on it or whatever, and movie of your choice. Or if I know the movie that they want to go to, then. And my littlest nephew thinks that he has to hold on to it and give it to the person at the movie theater, even though he's been told every year for 3 years that he doesn't have to. It's really cute.
Oh,
and he
it.
Lost it. He was like, I can't go to the movie because I lost my ticket. Bless.
You're the best, aren't you?
Beautiful.
But yeah, I mean, I just figure there's just so much trash in the world already, and they've got 1,000 grandparents and parents that have means, so it's like they don't need toys. Yeah.
This is the bigger concern, eh? It's just the burning planet and buying like fucking Hatchimal shit.
Honestly, there's an island somewhere in the Caribbean that's just made of Hatchimals.
This giant Hatchimal's going to kill us all. I found actually. If this goes before Christmas, who knows? A really good present, beeswax wraps.
Yes.
Very cheap.
Yes, they're terrific.
Everyone needs a beeswax wrap. Mm-hmm. Stop the Glad wrap. Yep. Wrap up your sandwich, beeswax wrap.
And they're pretty as well.
Can I do
a number of prints?
My my gift to my granddaughter, I got the idea from, I think, our page, from On the Rag 24/7. It's a memory game of feminists. So it's got Frida Kahlo and Gloria Steinem and name all the feminists in the world. Quickly, there's nine. There's only nine. That's all you need to remember. Anyway, so that's what she's getting for Christmas. And I am excited
Where's
about
that
her
from?
Opening it. I ordered it online from someone. Little and Lovely. Yeah, Little and Loved.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was somebody on the Facebook page, and I went, I want that.
Yeah.
So it's under my tree.
Can I direct people, also if this is too late for Christmas, it's just a good place to look for cool gift guides. I did a little gift guide for how to buy from Māori-owned businesses and makers. And I'm happy to say that a lot of the makers have got in touch with me and said, oh, my God, we've been so busy as a result of that gift guide, which I was so happy to hear. But to be quite honest, nearly everyone on that list is a young Māori woman.
Wow.
Which I don't know what that says about entrepreneurialism amongst young Māori, but there are a lot of Māori women on there that you can support, if not for Christmas, because it might be a little bit late, but then, but going forward into the future,
birthdays.
And there's real cool stuff. There's like Māori tarot cards and ceramics and clothes and lots of beautiful skincare and cosmetics made from native plants and things. And well, just there's so many clever women out there.
But I love it.
Yeah, wanted to give that a little signal boost.
This is good.
Gorgeous. Okay. End of Christmas.
Yeah, that'll
we're on to do looking back at what was.
What was.
2018. A wild year. A couple of listeners said they'd just like us to look back at the good things.
Okay.
Before we look forward to what's coming 2019 and what we can do in the year that's coming. So, yeah, people want the Yas Queens, the highlights. Where do we even start? There has been a lot of good.
There's been some great stuff. A couple of things that I've really liked about it on a macro level that aged care pay equity that came in middle of 2017 has extended now to mental health and addiction support workers. That happened in the middle of this year. So that's a huge win for so many people in those sectors. We've got abortion law reform on the fucking table. With thanks to the New Zealand Law Commission and all RANs and lots of women making submissions, which we should keep continuing to do. And of course, it was suffrage 125 this year. Everybody's been lost impetus after September, but some terrific things happened. That great documentary about what women want and the podcast Beyond Kate on Radio New Zealand that I really enjoyed. It was great, wasn't it? So they're my kind of big time highlights of the year, and then there's other people that I'm thrilled for this year, like Rose Mutterfeel and Hannah Gadsby.
Nanette.
Yeah. So we're on the agenda, right? The ladies are on the agenda.
Bloody ladies.
What about you, Leonie?
The chooks. I mean, Michelle said quite a few of
them.
That's fine. But Rose and Hannah Gadsby were on there because, I mean, one of the things we talk mostly about is women in media, because that's sort of the areas that we work in. And frankly, I know that there are just literally thousands of incredible women who are getting their PhDs and, you know, taking care of business and law. And I don't have as much access to them, but I do get to see people sort of on the front line in media. And I think Jamila Jamil has been really awesome this year. Like, I just really love how she's sort of been, like, nothing she says is super, like, difficult to understand. She's not an academic, but she's just used her platform so beautifully. So this is the actress from The Good Place who has just popped up all throughout the year using her platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to just call shit out. And it really, she really stands in quite stark contrast to all the other women who occupy a similar space who don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't actually be extraordinary that an actress stands up for this stuff. And I know she's not the only one, because Kate Blanchett and Kate Winslet and women like that have been sort of challenging, like, challenging people on red carpets and whatnot for a long time. But I just really like the sort of aplomb that she sort of brings to her her new role as a feminist ambassador. So I've really enjoyed her this year. Always bringing it back to the spin-off, but I have to say a lot of the highlights for me in terms of reading things that women have written locally have come from this scrappy little website that we're a part of, and that includes both of you, our colleague Madeline Chapman. My sort of read club for the month was going to include a piece that our colleague Jihee Jin wrote. We wanted to, again, coming out of the editorial meeting about Grace, things that we can sort of add to the conversation that contribute positively, and it was sort of put out there that it would be really great to hear from a young woman who had travelled at that same age that Grace was, to talk about why it's amazing and electric. And Jihee, who is sort of our business deputy ed and does a lot of production, and she puts a lot of her energy here into writing really great business stories. But this was a piece that came straight from the heart about why she travels alone and all of the wonderful things that's provided her. And she quoted, I forget the travel writer's name, but I really enjoyed the quote in the story that said, when you sit by yourself at a table, you sit opposite the whole world, which I just thought was really cool way of looking at doing anything by yourself, because I've been a huge fan of you taking yourself out for a meal and a movie. I've always done that, but that perfectly articulates why I like to do that. It's because you're not facing a person, you're facing everything, and that's exciting.
It's a brilliant image.
Yeah, so a shout out to the women of the spin-off, those on staff, and that just contribute amazing stuff week in, week out. Highlight.
I'm going to reuse some content that I just did in the Super Pod as well. Looking back at 2018, I feel like this was the year you could turn on your TV and there'd be a woman on a New Zealand show. The Project, Seven Sharp, Bake Off, like, in a very normal way. Not in, like, a novelty hire, not in, like, a, ooh.
Oh my God, there's something missing. I know.
Oh my God,
let's get
what's
a lady.
Going on?
The one woman for balance.
Exactly. The combo of Anika and Hillary, I think, on Seven Sharp was like a moment. Mm. And I even think about whenever it was kicking off, turning on the TV onto the project and Ursula Carlson talking about not all men at 7 o'clock on a mainstream TV show. Mm-hmm, something that's quite, it's complex and it's sort of like many of us sort of hold it as a secret until there's a moment to talk about it. And she was so fierce and so frank. And I was just like, 2018, man. Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
I think we're not winning a bunch of stuff, but I think we're gathering the troops and filling our arsenals.
Mm.
I think that's the space we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As in, there's going to be a war. Uh-huh. And yeah, that's, that's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah.
And we're ready.
Yeah, we're not making fucking dinner. No.
We meet at midnight.
Ready for battle.
I also wanted to give a shout out to another, the past few months or so, there's been that enormous media societal backlash towards gender identity and the self-identification bill. And I wanted to give a shout out to TVNZ's reality show House of Drag for just surviving and thriving and making an amazing reality product, which is like the complete antidote to all the poison about all the people who, I think it's coming from a place of fear, who are so opposed to people who aren't like them, people who have gender identities that they don't understand. There's a drag king, there's trans people, and it's just such a joyous, colourful, amazing, amazing thing to come out of New Zealand. I just wish more people would watch and maybe not read certain opinion pieces about gender.
Certain people's opinions. But what I think gender is, I'm the fucking expert.
2019.
Yes.
We're on the cusp.
I'm doing it. I've decided.
You're going to do it?
Yeah, I'm coming with you.
I'm in too.
Yeah.
Crouching in the back seat of taxis, facing backwards all the way through. That's how I'm entering 2019.
Counterpoint. When the all woman drive share thing launches, how are you going to sit in that taxi? I'm going to be
on the front
seat.
Seat beside the driver.
In the front seat.
Yes.
And we're going to be best friends by the end of the ride.
She's going to have pictures of her grandchildren. And I'm saying this because I know a driver who does on the dashboard. And you're going to go, and how are they doing? And it's going to be great.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's launched yet. Anyway, hopefully 2019. What are we looking forward to? What are we taking into the new year? What are we leaving behind? It's quite philosophical.
I've been trying to find who said this on our page, and I've been scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, but I think it happened in November and quite a lot's happened then. I have been having difficulty with the whole self-care concept as an individual, that you go off and do mindful things. I mean, I think that's really important and la-la. But I've been thinking about that a lot, that it's not quite satisfying enough for me. But somebody on our page, and if you're listening to this podcast, please leave a message so that I can remember your name, said what she has taken to doing is telling one person every day that she appreciates them, that she really likes what they have done that day at work or in the sports team. I know. I love you. And I think it's really lovely because it's the human communication thing, and also that acknowledgement that lots of us don't get told that we're terrific by other, the people in our lives who maybe should, and that it has been as nurturing for her as going off and doing a 10-minute meditation. And it's as nurturing for her, she feels, as it is for the person who gets to hear it.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I like the idea that we're going to do not just self-care, but care for each other.
Yeah.
Oh, I get my fucking guitar out and do kumbaya in it. But I do. That connection thing is something that I would like to try practicing in the next year. So if you get an email from me going, I think you're pretty and you're clever and you make me laugh, you'll know what that's about. So that's good.
So nice. I feel like it's sort of where you put your energy, right? Putting it out into a positive place rather than, I don't know, trying to focus on. I had a conversation with H. McArdle, the sort of rainbow advocate, and they were talking about the sort of turf stuff, and I was like, what do we do? how do we bring these people along with us?
Mm.
And they basically were like, you know, we need to use, this is simplified and politicized, but the Jacinda approach rather than the Trump approach. Instead of going, you're bad, these people are good, try and showcase different kinds of people and prove that certain people exist, and hopefully that will change people's minds.
Yeah.
Kind of exposing.
Tell their stories. Just talk about them and their lives.
Yeah. Instead of the attack, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think just doing everything, this is the Jacinda approach, doing everything from a place of kindness rather than fear, anger, suspicion. If that is your starting place, if your starting place is kindness, then the rest of that stuff follows, right? You are open to people's different ways of being and thinking and presenting themselves to the world and, I don't know.
Kumbaya,
my lord. Kumbaya. That's great. I'm gonna knit us all a vest.
I would love that. Yes. Anything else, Leonie? 2019?
2019, just to be like quite selfish and inward looking. When I sort of read, you know, what am I looking forward to in 2019? So on a personal level, I have two things have happened in the last sort of quarter of the year. I've moved into a house on my own for the very first time, and I've also started doing a lot of exercise. Not for any reason than I just want to feel strong. And the thing I'm most looking forward to in 2019 is exploring my independence and the strength of my body. Like, weirdly, I'm now sort of in this place where I unfortunately know enough people who've had their bodies attacked by cancer and terrible diseases where their bodies are taken away from them, I suppose. And I am now sort of thinking about, like, the strength of my arms and the strength of my legs and what can the muscles in my tummy actually help me do, you know. And it also comes from various bits of me are falling apart. I've got a bad knee and a dicky hip and a... And frankly, exercise is not helping those things, but it's highlighting, I don't know, the fragility of our bodies and why it's important to look after them. And I just have never cared before because I always thought, like, yummy, delicious food and sitting on my ass doing whatever I want was more important than anything else. I don't know why.
Is that not the thing?
Never been an active person, and it's... You know, I did lots of sports as a young person, but because it was just the done thing, you know, they were supervised by adults and were just there to make sure you did all the active things. The second I was left on my own in the adult world, I didn't do a goddamn thing because I was like, I can do nothing. The ideal state of being is lying down with a pizza.
It's a bad thing now.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. Exercising? But it turns out it can't be everything because then you get a dicky knee and a dicky hip at the age of 37.
Yeah.
You don't do anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm enjoying my independence and my strength while it lasts. Do you know what I mean? Because before you know it, I'll probably be fucking hitched with kids and... The knee will be gone. Yeah. So I just am right now at this point in time, I'm appreciating both of those
things. I love the idea that 2019, the two words for you are independence and strength.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah.
Need to get into exercise. I have been hearing some
I believe we joined the gym on the same day.
I got a call from the gym last week and they said, where have you been for the last 3 weeks? And I said, it's Christmas.
Yeah. But it's not all about gyms either, which is the other thing I've really been enjoying is actually just doing stuff with my friends, who turns out have been active this whole time that I've been lying down.
Telling you, have they been off doing some running around?
They walk up mountains, they hike all over the place, and so they're like, oh, finally, thanks for joining us. Have great conversations, and you drink wine and eat snacks afterwards as well. It's like, I've really been missing out.
Oh, that sounds great.
It sounds fabulous. Mm. I've just realised we had an enormous announcement to make. I was like, I'm going to tease it at the start, and I totally forgot.
Tease it now and then just say it.
The tease is there's a big announcement coming. The announcement is On the Rag is making a show in 2019. It's
videos.
Pod with pictures.
Pod with pictures, moving pictures, the talkies, as they call them.
Ladies and
the ladies, at least three. Mm. Crazy to think.
Three ladies having a conversation.
It's going to be a monthly online video. For the spin-off, with thanks to New Zealand On Air. We've just had our very first meeting about it before this podcast, and I think it's safe to say we're all fizzing.
Oh, I think we're pretty excited.
It was very exciting.
It was the nicest pre-production meeting I have ever been to in my whole life. It was like just a normal conversation with people going, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Mm. I will have fun doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
No talking over.
We're going to have a woman director and a woman soundie.
It's
going to
be
a
ladies.
Woman
it's going to be
editor.
Filthy with ladies. It's just
lousy
the
with them.
Just dirty with it.
Can't
what?
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
It's not that kind of show, Michelle.
I always go too far.
But yes, it's very exciting. Hoping to kick off in March. I'm sure we'll probably have some sort of conversation on the Rag page because we'd like it to be what the women of New Zealand want to see.
Yes.
About
you, the community living. Will feed into whatever the hell we get up to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's so exciting.
It is. It's fantastic.
Have we got Yas Queens?
I've got one.
Okay.
She's fantastic. I just realized it's a kind of a tough subject, but to finish on, well, I won't be the last one. So edit that out. My Yas Queen for 2018 is Kirsty Johnston, who has been writing You're Kidding Me.
That was mine.
You're kidding me.
We're wearing the same outfit.
That is fabulous. Aww. She's been writing all year about rape, about why so few rape cases make it to court, why police aren't prosecuting enough. More recently, she's been investigating the relationship between that and intimate partner violence and why so few of those cases are prosecuted. And she wrote a beautiful piece in the last week about that experience of spending the whole year writing about rape and then dealing with her emotional response to the death of Grace Mullane. Mm. And it was a beautiful piece, and you could feel her heart and soul in that and everything that she's been doing for a whole year. And it made me want to reach out and wrap her up in my arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was mine. That was mine.
That is so cute.
Incredible. Amazing.
Synergy.
To do that kind of like high level data crunching, investigative journalism, but also be able to communicate it in an opinion piece after going through months and months of that. Oh, just she's who I want to be when I grow up. Love her. Elizabeth. And she shouted at Sean Plunkett at Press Club.
Oh my God.
Yes.
She was great. It was great.
Which was an iconic moment.
It was.
Yes.
I have multiple Yas Queens.
Do it.
Because it's for the year,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
There's so many.
There's 1,444 of them. It's every single member of On The Rag 24/7.
Yes.
Quite literally has been, and we talked about it at the beginning, obviously, we gush. But it is an actual oasis in the hellscape of everything. And for all the reasons we said up top, it's because it's informative. People post links to stuff that we hadn't even read yet by amazing writers from here and overseas. And they post pictures of their animals and they ask questions that make you think and they just say stuff that make you laugh. And it's such a wonderful place. And that genuinely was like what's been the biggest influence on me in terms of what we talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that Facebook group. Yeah. And it's not even a year old as well.
Crazy.
And there's 1,444 of you. Mm. And you give me life. So, yeah.
No, it also, it's like the ongoing confirmation that you're not going crazy.
Yes.
There's people out there that are seeing the same things as you.
Responding the same way.
Yeah.
And asking the same questions.
Yeah.
Shout out, how many?
1,444.
So that's a really lovely number.
It is. It's a beautiful number.
A lot of Christmas cards to send out.
We do.
But think of the gifts.
You're all getting Hatchimals.
Just chuck them on the island when you're done.
Oh, my God. I think we made it.
I think we're
at the end of the podcast, the end of 2018. This is extraordinary. Thank you so much to Tina Tiller.
Yay,
our producer sits there. She's got a small glass of wine. It's very hot in this room.
It's her fourth glass of wine.
And thank you so much to the Women's Bookshop who've been with us all year and beyond.
Yeah. Christmas Carol.
Please go and show them your support because they are a wonderful small business. Thank you, Leonie and Michelle.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for leading us throughout the year on this wonderful podcast we call On the Red.
Our personal cool guide.
No, I wasn't going to cry. But...
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
Have a lovely summer, everybody. We'll see you next year.
Ki te anō. Hello for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi. Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.